Today is the first day of November, believe it or not. With Thanksgiving less than a month away, think for a moment what you will eat for your big Thanksgiving meal. Think of the feast it will be. Turkey and mashed potatoes, green beans and corn, sweet potatoes and cranberry sauce, and I could probably go on. It makes my mouth water just thinking about it. I don't know about you, but I like Thanksgiving meal. There will be so much to eat. The plate will hardly be big enough to hold it all. The food, I guarantee you, will be piled high on my plate. This morning, I want us to have a feast as well on grace. God's unmerited favor. A feast of grace. Paul deals in the letter to the Galatians about how the Jews and Gentiles should deal with or treat one another because of the gospel of grace. There had been an incident with Peter and among the Galatians, so Paul writes to explain or set straight what the gospel of grace means. Jesus came to save us, and we partake of that salvation by faith. A feast of grace. Galatians chapter 1 is where we will start. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. Paul said, "I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed." Turn over or look across the page now to chapter 2, verse 15. What Paul started in chapter 1, he's going to finish in chapter 2. He said, "We are Jews by nature and not sinners from among the Gentiles. Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Since by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. But if, while seeking to be justified in Christ, we ourselves have also been found sinners, is Christ then a minister of sin? May it never be. For if I rebuild what I once destroyed, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For through the law, I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly." The first bite of grace is the message of the gospel should be all important in your life. Salvation is about what Jesus has done. The Galatian church seemed to be turning away from the gospel, and it completely astonished Paul. Their actions were reminiscent of Israel's falling away, and they were pulling away from the one they professed to know, the one that they professed to love, the one that they professed to follow. And they were pulling away from the one that they professed to worship more fully. Nothing needs to be added to the gospel. Nothing. Nothing needs to be added to the gospel. And there is nothing more to do to accomplish salvation. It is all about the gospel. It is all about what Christ has done. Jesus, and Jesus is alone, is the mediator, the only mediator between God and man. And I don't mean to go back and preach a message from a couple, 3 weeks ago, but Jesus came and represented God to us, and now he is before God representing us before the Father. He is the mediator between God and man. So grace, is not about getting what you deserve. Grace is about getting what you do not deserve. The grace of Christ is about Him taking on human form, of Him dying to pay the penalty for your sin, and then defeating sin by being resurrected, by defeating sin, death, and the grave. That's what grace is about. Paul knew the gospel of the grace of Christ is so important, so important. He said that if anyone tries to distort the message or add to it or in some way or another manipulate it, he didn't say, well, you know, he ought to be slapped on the hand. He used a very strong word. The word is anathema in Greek. And it is to be done away with. It is a curse for destruction. And let me tell you, it was so serious. But he used it because the gospel is so serious. That's how important the gospel is. Came across a story about a doctor working with a patient one time, and the man had some physical illness that was beginning to affect him mentally. And the man talked about the despair and the anxiety and all that was going on in his life. And the doctor looked down, and there was a pillow there, and he grabbed the pillow and he stuck it up on the man's face. Well, the man immediately began fighting him, and he said, Why'd you do that? And he said, As bad as you wanted air right then. Want life that badly. And we should want Christ that badly. That's how important the gospel is. This morning, do you claim salvation by the grace of Jesus alone, or do you add something? Salvation is not about being a good person. It's not about being a good citizen. It's not about a lot of the things that we sometimes think will get us into heaven. Salvation is about what Christ has done, and that's all. That's all. It's not about attending church or any other good thing. It's not about helping out at the fall festival. We had a lot of good help yesterday. I appreciate every one of you. But it's not about doing all those good things. It's about a relationship with Jesus. And that starts with repentance on your part. Of finally saying, you know what? I cannot decide for myself. I cannot decide what's right and wrong. I cannot just live for myself. I have to live for Christ. So this morning, are you secure in His love, His grace, His work on the cross? Do you point others to Jesus? Or do you allow that there may be another way? I'm here to tell you this morning that we don't preach a good way. We don't preach a way. We preach the way. There's only one way to a right relationship with the Father. This morning, if God's grace in Christ is not sufficient or you have to add to it, it's no longer grace. Feast on grace. The second bite of grace is salvation is not by anything you accomplish. Salvation is about what Jesus has done. The backstory of Galatians is a confrontation that Paul had with Peter, Cephas. As Acts chapter 10 relates, Peter had been about spreading the gospel. When he was in Joppa, which is west of Jerusalem a little ways, about noon one day, he had gone to the upper room of the house that he was staying in with the people, and he had gone up there to pray, and he fell into a trance, and God gave him a vision. And all you can read Acts chapter 10 to find out more of the details, but in that vision or through that vision, that the Lord made clear that the gospel is for the Gentiles as well as for the Jews. And from that day on, Peter began dealing with the Gentiles, even eating with them. And let me tell you, that was a big deal. That was a big deal. Until a group came from Jerusalem one day. And when the visitors were there, segregation and separation ruled in Peter's life. And Paul said, hey, what's up with that? Don't I taste or smell a little ham on your breath, Peter? I think that's Charles Swindoll's line. But he confronted him about his hypocrisy. And so Paul's relating all this because he is again dealing with the group who said, to be Christian, to know Christ, you must also be a Jew. You must keep the law. This group began, and they became known as Judaizers. But they were saying there's something more. And so Paul's making very clear that salvation is not dependent on circumstance of birth, or the fact that God did give the law to your people. Salvation, a right relationship with God, the forgiveness of sin, justification, is about being in a relationship with Jesus. Now, I just used a term I want to make sure you understand, and that term is justification. It is to be right. It is to be legally in the clear. You can think about that in a couple ways. Think about it like a picture on a wall, but you just want to go up and adjust at your neighbor's house. Or justification is to be guilty of something, and the judge look at you and say, you're free. Go. That's justification. So no religious system can do that. Only Jesus can. Salvation is not by anything you accomplish. When our kids were still on the payroll and they got old enough to drive, we gave every one of them a credit card with their name on it on our account. Because they needed to buy gas for the car, and you know, I didn't want to have to go with them or do it for them. And so every time, then this goes back a little bit, so every time that they would go to the gas station and present that card to the attendant, they would sign their name and they were basically saying, put it on my parents' account. And that's what salvation is about. That we are putting our sin, our guilt, our transgression, our sorriness on Jesus' account. And he is paying the bill. He has paid the bill. This morning, are you secure in that salvation that Christ offers? Or do you live your life under a cloud of guilt? Oh, Lord, I just hope I'm good enough. Oh, I tried to be nice, and I hope I'm good enough. I hope I've done all the right things. Or are you holding on to the grace of Christ? Do you know freedom in Christ? Or are you in the confines of the law? Are you one who will add to what it means to be saved? You got to be this way. You got to dress this way. You got to have your hair a certain length. Don't use that musical instrument in worship. Employ the sacred tongue of religious discourse. You got to do this. As I was thinking about this, do you think that it's wrong if worship music makes you tap your foot? Anybody want to admit to that? There have been movements in this country. There may still be. That was, oh, if you tap your foot. We are to feast on grace. Grace tastes good because it allows you to live in a relationship with Christ. Salvation is about what Jesus has done. Justification is by faith, whether Jew or Gentile. One reaction to this was you have to keep the law crowd. Another reaction was, if one does not live by the law, do what you want. Only then, Christ becomes responsible for sin. And so Paul takes believers beyond these two arguments with four statements, and I want to make sure we get them. First, he said, through the law, I died to the law so that I might live for God. Paul's concern here was the theological baggage that keeping the law carried with it. It was not that he thought the law of God had lost all meaning, but since coming into covenant with Christ, the law no longer controlled him. Now let me tell you, if you keep the law, on the Sabbath, you only took so many steps. Because any more than that, that would be work. And you're not to work on the Sabbath. And so he was getting past that. The second thing he said was, I have been crucified with Christ. New life flowed from complete identification with Christ in both his death and his resurrection. The third thing he said is I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. This does not mean we're removed from the realm of suffering and death. It doesn't mean that at all. But it does imply a radical transformation has been enacted in every one. A transformation. Not a tweak. Not a massage, not a little adjustment, a total radical transformation. The last thing he said was, let me find it here. Here it is. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God. Not only are we justified by faith, we live by faith. To live for God or for Christ means establishing a covenant with Him. To come into a relationship. First, it meant a giving up of an independent lifestyle. Then it meant that we walk through death, that we have died to ourselves, that we have died to sin, and that we're living for Him. And then it's this change of identity. Christ has not led us into sin, but He has revealed to us the depth of our own depravity. And so Paul argues we are to live a distinctive lifestyle. We are to live differently, with no thought of earning God's favor or anything about that, of keeping the law. So we are to live now in relationship with Christ. Relationship. I find it interesting to go back home to my home church, the church I grew up in, Lawton. We got to do that back last March, and we were there on a Sunday, and there was more than one person that I would start talking to because I knew who they were. They would talk to me and look at me, and you can always tell when somebody kind of knows who you are. It's like, I don't know who you are, but I can't think of your name. I don't know. And sometimes I would give them my name, and that didn't ring a bell. But if I told them whose son I was, or now whose brother I am, oh, are you identified by your relationship with Christ? Where do you find your identity? Where is your spiritual focus? Is it on Christ or yourself as you try to be good enough? Or is it on yourself for your pleasure, your good times? Are you living a distinctive lifestyle, one that honors and glorifies Christ? Let me tell you, I have a burden for those who seem to be more interested in their good times than living for Christ. And I would ask you that when marijuana becomes legalized in this state, and it's coming, just wait, it's coming. When marijuana becomes legalized in this state, what will you say to your kids about it? It's legal. It'll be legal. Will you say, or are you going to say to them, are you really pursuing Christ? Are you really pursuing holiness? Are you really living a distinctive lifestyle? Have you been put to death? This morning, those are the questions you need to answer. Have you really been put to death? Yourself, your identification, and you find your identification with Christ? Have you really died to the law by trying to be good enough? Are you really living for Christ? Will you feast on grace every day, not just on a certain Thursday. Is the gospel really important in your life? Is it the heartbeat of this church? Do you claim to be saved by faith? Or are you just trying to be a good person? Has grace made possible a relationship with Jesus Christ for you? Will you feast on grace?